We want to thank the Lord for what he's doing in our hearts and in our life. I want to look at a couple of passages of Scripture today. And if you were listening fairly carefully to the music that the worship team provided for us, there are a lot of Scripture that was placed in those hymns and songs, and we'll be touching on that again as we go through today. Psalm 139, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with you." And in a very familiar passage from Matthew 6, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The reason why I use that particular passage out of the King James is that's the one that a lot of us know, and some of you used to stand and say that as kids in school. And so we want to do that even today. So I'm going to just have it on the overhead in case you've forgotten it. You can just look up and just follow it. So we want to pray this together as we begin the service. Let's pray together. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And let's pray again. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the peace that passes all understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for God Almighty. And today, Lord God, as we look at intimacy with God the Father, we just pray, God, that we would be open to the things that you want to teach us. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. During my counseling years, and I guess I'm still counseling, but it goes back probably 50 years since I've been working with people. Over the years, I've heard people say something like this in my counseling office: "Father, don't ever use that word around me. I don't want to hear about a father. I don't care about it's my own father or God the Father. And let me tell you what I think of him." Think of one particular lady said, "Let me tell you about my father." We were talking about how God could help her through a very difficult time. She had lost a baby, which was not very, very easy. And just as I was sharing, I simply said, "Let's pray and ask the Father to help us through this." And she became very, very angry. And she said, "I don't want to hear that name, Father. Let me tell you about my father. He would play with me like this. I'd ask him for something, and he would say, 'I'll let you have it, but you have to say please.' And I would say please. And then he would say, 'Say pretty please.' And I would say pretty please. And then he would say, 'Say pretty please with sugar on it.' And I would say pretty please with sugar on it. And then he would say, 'Get away from me. I'm not going to give it to you anyway.'" So as this lady was talking to me, she says, "That's my understanding of God the Father. Like my own father. And dear ones, a lot of people who've gone through difficulty with a father who's not been the best struggles with that all their life unless they have a powerful emotional healing time in their life. And I'll touch on that in just a little bit. As individuals who are not healed, they get into parenthood, whether it's a mom or a dad, and they find they struggle being a dad or being a mom. And the reason being is because they're still relating back to the abusive situation in their home. I think of Dan, who was a very wealthy businessman. As we began to talk and to share, he said, "You know, my dad always called me useless and stupid." He said, "I'm married with a beautiful wife. I've got children that really, really love me. I'm doing well in business, but often I think of suicide because of the way my father treated me." We were able to share and work through some things with Dan to see God minister to him and set him totally free. And as I work with individuals who are struggling in this area, they always have difficulty relating to an intimacy with God the Father. They see God the Father as someone who's far off, someone who's aloof, and someone who does not care. And I'll touch on that a little bit later as we move through this. In working with individuals, I know that a lot of Christian men and a lot of Christian women struggle in their marriage, in their home, because of the home they came from with a father, in some cases a mother, who was not very caring for them. So I talked about Dan. Remember getting a note from him after counseling. He thanked me and he said, "I am so very, very thankful that God set me out of prison. God set me out of prison." And as we prayed for emotional healing for this man, God set him free. So he was no longer controlled by the horrible statements that his dad made about him being useless and no good, and no one would want to marry him. And he's free today. You see, guilt says, "I made a mistake. I can be forgiven." Guilt says, "I made a mistake before God or someone else. I can be forgiven." But shame says, "I am a mistake. I am a mistake." So that's the time that we need to be praying for individuals, because they go through life because of what they've heard as a child, a young person. They feel that they are a mistake. And that's why I use that passage from Psalm 139. Dear ones, you are not a mistake. God created you. God loves you with an everlasting love. I often ask individuals to write out those statements that their dad or mom said to them that were negative, and write them down and lift them up before God. Say, "God, this is what my dad said about me. God, this is what my mother said about me. But God, this is what you said about me." And Psalm 139 is one of the passages that we use for that time of emotional healing for them. You all know what a daisy flower is. I looked back in my yard to see if I could find some real live ones, but they've all died. And so I had to use Mr. Google to help me out. And so I brought him with me today and put him up. And as we think of the father situation, I think of the whole area of approach, avoidance, conflict. What is approach, avoidance, conflict? I know I'm supposed to love him. I know I'm supposed to get close to God the Father, but I really can't, because I can't trust him, because I couldn't trust the father figure that I lived with all my life. And so I call that a daisy flower syndrome. I don't know if I was the one that picked that up probably 40 years ago in my counseling office, but I use that to encourage people to know where they're coming from. So that daisy flower, as we look at God the Father, is this. Approach, avoidance, conflict is the daisy flower syndrome says, "God the Father loves me. I read the Bible today. God the Father loves me. I was mean to my kids yesterday. God loves me not. I had a good prayer time today, so God loves me. I said an unkind word to the neighbor. God loves me not. And that's the way we do it. Maybe you played that little game as a little boy and girl, and you had somebody sweet in your school as a four-year-old or grade four, and so you were pulling it out. Jimmy loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. And that's the way God is treated by a lot of people. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. And let me say very, very clearly, dear ones, He loves you with an everlasting love. So how can we get to that place where we can have an intimate relationship with God the Father? I'll share a little bit about my journey, maybe to help you as well as we go along. I want you just to take a moment and ask yourself the question, is that the way you look at God the Father? I was good today, so He loves me. I really messed up yesterday. He loves me not. I want to make it very clear today, dear ones, that He loves you so very, very much. And somewhere along the line, you need to get to the place where you understand, regardless of what was said to you as a young boy or young girl growing up, that can be eliminated by the power of the Spirit of God to emotionally heal you, to set you free from that. So in order to have an intimate relationship with God the Father, we need to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, into our life. That's where we start. That's where we begin. And God the Father desires that everyone come to know His Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And so we ask the question, do I have an intimate relationship with God our Father? If you've come from a very abusive situation, home situation, you have a real struggle with understanding what it means to have an intimate relationship with God the Father. And dear ones, you don't have to live like that. God can set you absolutely free. Of course, we need to start with accepting Jesus Christ into our heart and into our life. You know my story a little bit. You know when I shared about how I watched my dad try to get at my mom to kill her one night, and her boyfriend not too long after that. My impression of men was not very, very good. And therefore, my impression of God was not very, very good, because there seems to be some relationship, and of course there is, we know that. So the first thing we need to do is understand that God loves us, and the best way we get to have an intimate relationship with Him, God the Father, is to invite His Son to come into our life. Sometimes we may have the idea that, why would you even talk about that? This is a Christian church. Everybody in our church is a Christian. Many of the people that I've worked with in counseling, they would sit in my office, and I would ask them if they were a Christian, and they would say yes. And so I'd ask them, when was the time that they invited Jesus Christ to come in and be their Savior and the Lord, and said, oh, I've never done that. I've never done that. So that gave me the opportunity to explain that to them. And so basically we say, I confess to God that I'm a sinner. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross, that He was raised from the dead for my justification. I now repent of my sins, and I receive and confess Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life and saving me. Amen. And most of you have done that sometime in your life. Some of you may have done that at your mother's knee when you were 3 or 4 years of age. Some of you may have done that as a young adult. Some of you may have done that not too long ago when you were an older adult. But that's the first step in having a relationship with God the Father. And that's why it's very important for me to share that with you. That passage of Scripture, John 17, the first 8 verses, Jesus is praying for Himself. And then from verse 9 to 19, He is praying for the disciples that He was with at that time. And then from verse 20 on to the end of the chapter, he is praying for us. And God the Father prays this, or Jesus is praying this for us. And he says, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. And let just be underlined a few to remind you of the impact of that. Jesus says that they all may be one, as you, our Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. It's hard for a lot of individuals who've had a bad relationship with their own father to understand that God loves you so much. God the Father lives within you. Jesus Christ, the moment you accepted Christ, as I did way back in May 1963, Christ came into my life. The Holy Spirit came into my life because Jesus said that when we're born again, the Holy Spirit will come in. And we know from this passage of Scripture that God the Father also lives within us. And he loves us so very, very much. Jesus, going on, he says, in the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. He's talking about unity, and he's talking about that time that we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever, and we'll know that so very, very clearly. He says, I in them and you in me. He's talking to the Father. He says, I'm in them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. God the Father loves you. That's how we can have an intimate relationship with him. Some of the songs, verses that were quoted and sung today reminds me again, as I said, of our message. As believers, I just want to look at some of the attributes of God the Father and see how we can relate to him in an intimate relationship. And so we find here that God is holy. Probably remember that passage of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is in the prayer closet. He's having a time with God the Father. He's struggling over the fact that King Uzziah, one of the greatest kings that ever lived, had died. And Israel was left without a good, strong leader. He goes on to say, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high lifted up, sitting on a throne high and lifted up. Goes on to say, and I saw his robe fill the temple, the power of Almighty God. And he talked about the seraphims that were there. Just think of that picture even now. When he could see the seraphims, those are the angels that wait upon God. He says, above the throne were seraphims. Each one had six wings. Two he covered his face. Two they covered their feet. And with two they did fly. And one said to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And then back, the last pages of the Bible, Revelation 4, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's the one that we want to have an intimate relationship with. So God is holy. Don't be afraid of his holiness, because if you're a child of God, he wants you close. He wants you to talk to him. And I'll share about that in just a few moments. God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity we have. God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Some of you took a while before God got a hold of your heart and over your life. So you're wandering around in your own sin and in your own life, but God demonstrated his love to you and got a hold of you and said, I want you to be my child. Drew you onto himself and saved you for time and, yes, for eternity. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we know for by grace we've been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves it is, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I remember sharing with my sister Three of my brothers were alcoholics. Both my parents died because of alcoholism. And I was sharing with my sister about a spiritual walk with Jesus. And she was probably the first one in our family that came to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And so when we were sharing with this, she said, "But Bruce," she said, "I understand very clearly. For by grace I've been saved. It's not my own works. I have nothing to boast about. It's Jesus in my life." And that was a real thrill to me, because it was a long time later that my brothers made commitments to Christ. In fact, my oldest brother made a commitment to Christ just shortly before he passed away. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." That is a spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, they are unchanging. One of the songs that were sung related to unchanging. God is unchanging. Of course, a lot of us knew Del Fulford very well. Our friend Del Fulford always would say, or encourage us with, "God never changes. God doesn't change. God is unchanging." Dear ones, lots of times we can't trust people. I could never trust my dad to do the things that would show love to me. But I trust a God who is unchanging, Almighty God. Malachi 3:6 says, "I'm the Lord and I change not." I change not. You can trust him. God the Father is one that you can really, really trust. And that's why you can have an intimate relationship with him, because he loves you so very, very much. And we compare that with the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. The Lord Jesus Christ that died on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," will be the same Lord Jesus Christ that invites you home when you pass on. And he will be the same one that will be lifted up and honored in glory forever and ever and ever while we're with him. God the Father is patient. Sometimes we don't do well with patience. Maybe as parents, and maybe as kids, maybe as teachers, whatever vocation you're in, but God is patient. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering," patient, "is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Dear one, perhaps you're saying today, "I'm too far from God. He really doesn't care for me. I hear him every once in a while talking to me, but I don't think he really cares." Dear one, he cares for you. He's very, very patient. He's waiting for you to come to him. Not only first time, but sometimes maybe you're here today and you recognize that you're a prodigal. You know God in a personal way through Jesus, but you're not living for him. You play the Christian game, but you're not walking the way you need to walk. And you need to come back to him, because the Father is waiting at that gate for you to come home. And as the prodigal said, "I need to go home to be with my Father." But he had to say, "Father, I've sinned." And that's what we need to do. In fact, dear ones, let me encourage you every day. Come to God and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to search your heart. "God, is there anything in my life?" I try to do that every day, morning and evening. "Lord, if there's something in my life that grieved the Holy Spirit today, that dishonored God the Father, point it out to me so I can confess it." And then we can come home as prodigal, even if it's just for a day where we slipped and stepped out of line. God the Father is peace. It's not God the Father has peace. God the Father is peace. It's not that the God the Father has love. God the Father is love. He is peace. "That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusts in thee." I trust in God Almighty because he gives me peace. Then we compare that with the Lord Jesus. It's interesting, he's saying this just before he went to the cross. He said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God the Father says, I have peace for you. Jesus says, I want to give you peace. I want you to walk in peace. I want you to walk in power. Every day I try and pray for the persecuted church of the world. I have some specific prayer requests that I pray for. I try and pray ongoing as well for the women and children that are trafficked in different countries of the world. And many times as I'm praying for them, I'm crying out to Jesus, would you just come and rescue these people? Jesus, would you just come and set this world free because of the mess? I can't imagine some of these boys and girls being abused every day, every day, every day, every day. But you know, dear ones, God is just. He keeps the books. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is a rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. And from the book of James, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And that's a good word for us today. God, I need to look at myself before I make judgment on someone else. And then we know that God the Father is power. Not just he has power, but he is power. God the Father is power. Have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. He gives power to the faint, and to those that have no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and grow weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's for us. God the Father, God Almighty, he is power, and he loves you. If you get nothing else out of the message today, I want you to walk out those doors and say, God the Father wants an intimate relationship with me. God the Father loves me. I am not a mistake. Yes, I made some mistakes, but God has forgiven me. God loves me. He gives us power. And then God gives comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, I love this verse. I use it often at funerals. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. As I was thinking about this verse, I was thinking about just a personal example. And as I was thinking about that, I was trying to be sensitive to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit about some of these things that I've been speaking about. When I know I need to speak or I'm scheduled to speak, or sometimes, as the elders say, Bruce, we want you to get speakers. And every once in a while, I put myself in that position. But I was thinking about God, the comforter, the God of all comfort. So today, or this week, was a little more challenging than some of the other weeks. And I was thinking of the power of God's comfort and God the Father being my comforter. In the last 9 days, I went through kind of some special times and some difficult times, I guess. On the 13th of July, just a few days ago, 9th, I celebrated Fern and my 50th wedding anniversary. I went out to the graveside early morning, last Friday. As I stood and read the epitaph on her little plate there, I thanked the Lord. I thank God the Father for my intimacy with him, because I was able to be there, and thank Almighty God for the wonderful woman that God gave to me. and to stand there and know that I would be preaching today on the intimacy of God and saying, Father, thank you that I have that intimacy with you. That was the 13th. July used to be a kind of an expensive month for me because on the 18th was Fern's 75th birthday. So then I celebrated birthday thanking God again for being so intimate with me. You see, I understand the intimacy with God the Father because I know his Son. And I need to make sure that my life is pure and clean before him so I can do the things that he wants me to do. So during that time, I celebrated Fern's 75th birthday. And I know she's far better off than I am. And then yesterday, we had some meetings and other things, but I kind of walked through the day as I was working on this message, knowing the 21st of every month is a reminder that the 21st was the day that Fern passed away 28 months ago. And so yesterday, I thanked Almighty God that I have an intimate relationship with God the Father. I have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have an intimate relationship with God the Holy Spirit. I prayed quite a bit about whether I should even share that story with you today. And I just sense that God said, that's all right. In fact, I want you to share that with the people to know the impact, to know the power of an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, an intimate relationship with God the Father. And you that have walked with me over the last number of months, you recall that I began this trilogy with an intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and then an intimate relationship with God the Holy Spirit, and then an intimate relationship with God our Heavenly Father. And dear ones, that's what I desire for you, that you would have that relationship with Jesus, that relationship with the Holy Spirit, the relationship with God the Father, that you can say, God, thank you that you love me. And perhaps you're here today, firstly, you've never ever said yes to Jesus. Let me encourage you to do that. I'd be glad to share with you. I know a lot of the others here would be glad to lead you to that saving walk with the Lord Jesus. Perhaps you're here today and you've been stuck for years because you come from a very, very difficult home background and you've never been treated with love and respect by your father or by your mother. And today, dear ones, and in a few minutes as I pray, I'm just going to pray about that as well, that you can say, Lord Jesus, I just need to be healed. Sometimes the anger within me rises up and I can hardly control what's going on. And the reason being is because the way you were treated back there, God does not want you to live like that. He didn't want me to live like that. And so many, many hours late at night, down on my knees, beside an old army bunk at Karenport High School, I said, God, you need to heal me. God, you just have to heal me. God, you just have to heal me. And he did. And he can do that for you as well. And so as we look at this God of comfort, it's not that God has comfort. God is comfort. And I couldn't say it any plainer than I did over the last 9 days. It's been a tough time, but dear ones, it's been a glorious time because I know God the Father walked with me. So I ask the question, do I have an intimate relationship with God the Father? Do I sense his love, his protection, his closeness every day? And I can certainly say amen, I sure do. And I'm so very, very thankful. God, our Father, desires us to know that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And I appreciate that wonderful song that you sang, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Dear ones, I'm going to include you in a prayer. As I close, I'm going to pray. If you're here today and you're struggling with some hurt and pain in your past, I'm going to ask that the Lord Jesus Christ would heal you of the abusive things that were said to you as a child, as a young person, so you can understand very, very clearly that God loves you so very, very much. Give you a moment just to think about that as I go to prayer. And in your heart, you need to say, God, I'm going to accept that prayer today. God, I'm going to accept that prayer today. Sorry, every once in a while, I take off my preaching hat and teaching hat, and I put on my counselor hat. And so we want to see God do some good things today. So let's pray.